要干嘛？My heart longs for you, says the Lord. I long to fellowship with you. I desire and delight when you come to me, when you choose in the moments of your day to lift your voice and worship me and say, I love you, Daddy. I rejoice when I hear your voice begin to pray. I rejoice. It blesses me. I receive from you when you give yourself to me. For you see, it's not just me giving to you, but I receive from you, says the Lord. My heart is pleasured. My heart begins to leap. I rejoice over you with joy. I delight in you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not a father that's not touched with the feelings of your infirmity. I know how you feel, for my son came in my name, in my place, that you might know that I can identify with you through his humanity, him humbling himself. He shares all those things with me, says the Lord. I sensed all of those things. I feel all of your pain. I know exactly what it is to live as a man. For I created man. And then I sent my son as a man, that I might redeem my man. I never desired that man would not know me or be put away from me. But the enemy came to try to deceive and to lead him astray. But I purposed in my heart that I will have my man, that I will redeem him, that I will bring him back unto myself. So I set forth that plan. Hallelujah. And I brought my man back, and it delights me. You see, I defeated the enemy. I defeated him and stripped him of his power. Legally, he deceived man, tried to take them forever so they couldn't know the God that he once worshiped. He was jealous. He wanted that worship unto himself. But I said no, because that's my creation and that's my man. Because you see, I am a jealous God. And I want you to worship me and me alone. Hallelujah. Okay, Lord, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Me and me alone. That's what he's saying. I'm just listening. Hallelujah. Wow. In the beginning, God created man. Man became, on this earth, he became the center of his attention. He walked with man. He desired to know man. He enjoyed man's fellowship. He said, well, I'm hearing the Lord saying, he says, why do you think I came down in the cool of the day to walk with him? Because I loved man. He's my creation. He's the one that I want to fellowship with. I made him in my class for a reason. But I didn't make him without a choice. I didn't make him without a will. Because had I made him without a will, I would have no pleasure. Because I wanted man to choose me. And he chose to fellowship with me. And he loved me. And we walked together. And I clothed him with my glory. And my power would flow. My anointings, my gifts, my blessings was upon mankind, and all was perfect. Man lived in that garden. Yet there was a temptation that came through the fallen angel of Lucifer, who was kicked out of heaven for his heart was lifted up in pride, wanting to receive the worship of God unto himself. How long that took, the Bible doesn't exactly say. I'm sure it was quite a while. He took a third of the angels with him. He's a deceiver, and he's pretty good at what he does. He's not to be honored or to be worshipped, but he is a foe that we need to recognize and to be respected for what he is. He's good at what he does. He's persistent. And he doesn't just stop at the first time that you begin to seek after God. He started out in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to destroy man. And he lied to him. He said, if you eat from the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, you'll know, you'll be like God. He hasn't really changed his tactics much anymore. He's still telling people, you can be like God. Just do your own thing. Do what feels good. You are God. Don't you know that? You are. You're a fallen man until you know God. So, well, why are you talking about that? It's a good question. Because the Father's talking about it. That's why. He wants us to understand something. In the beginning, God created. He created. Now, one thing that he did create in the beginning, he created Lucifer, didn't he? He created the angels. So, well, did God create evil? No. He created Lucifer. Lucifer and a third of the angels chose to rebel against God. Now, how many know that's not very smart? Amen. I give you a hint. If you ever have trouble, always be on God's side. Okay? All right? Because he's right. The Bible says he cannot lie. He's righteous. He's pure. He's holy. He's only one to be worshipped and praised. And the devil says, no, I think I will lift my throne above the throne of God. I'm going to lift myself up. I'm going to look good to all these people, to all these other beings, these angels. They'll start worshiping. I know what's going to happen. They're going to worship me, right? He did worship God at one time. Anybody ever see anybody that? They worship God at one time. Some people say you can't walk away from God, but you have a free will and you can walk away from God. And if you choose, you say, I don't want God. You make a conscious choice and you're persistent. You can walk away from him. You can have what you want. And you will burn with the devil in the lake of fire forever and ever. Forever. Forever in torment. No hope ever of redemption. Never. For all eternity. Now I know there's some people that think the lake of fire is only going to be for a while and then they'll get out and they'll go to heaven or whatever to the next thing, you know. There's a lot of crazy doctrines out there. But we don't believe, amen? We believe what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says about God and what the Bible says about the devil, the enemy of God. Lucifer is God's enemy. That's why he hates you so much, because he loves God, because you love God. He just hates man in general, and I know people in the world have tribulation. He'll try to take them out, try to keep them from getting saved. That's why we're here, to tell them the truth. I was talking to a gentleman this morning, and he was telling me all his condition. And I said, well, what, are you working? Well, no, I can't work anymore. Well, what happened? Well, I was a mechanic for 25 years, and I don't know, he's got some kind of disease. And I can't remember the name of it, but he said his brain is shrinking, and his I said, well, you just need a miracle. A what? He just looked at you. A what? I said, yeah, a miracle. You know, they're available today. I said, God's giving them out all the time. That's what God does. God gives out miracles. He heals bodies that are broken, that break down. And it's, well, it's for a lot of different reasons. You know, sin is part of it. The devil is part of it. You know, man fell. Eventually, we do die. But within that, you know, God said, I redeem you. I give you health until the time when you get your glorified bodies promised us health and strength and life. Hallelujah. But anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and I said, well, what do you believe? You know, I didn't really say what he believed. He just starts telling me. He said, well, I just believe man, when he dies, he's just dead. He's just gone. I just believe in science. You know, man dies, and that's it. But I've been going to this church. I said, well, good. I said, because you need to change your way. It's because God is real, and he will give you a miracle if you want one. But you've got to, you know, say, hey, I'll take it. You know, God doesn't force anything on anybody. Amen. But how many believe he can have a miracle? Now, I didn't reach out and pray for him right then because I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to where he's going to a church somewhere. But I said, you want prayer? I said, don't let him tell you you can't have a miracle. I said, you can have a healing. You can be totally healed from top of your head to the soles of your feet right now. I said, how about if God heals you, you're going to serve him. You're going to know he's real. Oh, yes. I said, well, he'll do it right now. If you want, I'll pray for you. Well, you know, I'll let you know. You know, that was his answer. And I won't pray for people if they don't want me to pray for them. I mean, you're not really, God's not going to force himself on them anyway. You're going to send words that aren't going to get an answer because they don't want it. And man has a certain amount of authority on the earth because they're man. See, otherwise the devil would just be killing everybody off the face of the earth, which he's trying to, but he has to deceive. He can't just go out there and mass, you know, people just start falling out. No, he's got to talk people into killing them. So that's why he builds the religions that think they can kill people and can want to destroy people. And if they don't repent, then I guess we'll have to take them out. I mean, that's why there's war in the earth, because sometimes people don't want God. They don't want to repent. How are we going to stop them from killing everybody else that's innocent, that hasn't had their day in court? That's not right. Anyway, you can write me letters later. I'll put them in my file. Now, Brother Doug, I don't think we should ever have war. I know. I don't either. I don't want to have war. But sometimes men listen to the devil and they won't stop. So there has to be war. And with God, there's war also. In the kingdom of God, there's war. We don't war against flesh and blood. What do we war against? Principalities and powers. Romans chapter 6. Let's go there. Hallelujah. This is your message, Lord. Glory to God. I write all these notes out. I don't know why I bring them up here. I never hardly look at them. If I do, it'd be a, you know, because he said to, so, hallelujah. Are we doing all right tonight? Yes, sir. But anyway, I didn't mean to come to the, I'm not trying to come in the negative. He's already desires us. He loves us and he wants man. But there is an enemy. And the devil is trying to stop man from knowing God. Whether you're not born again yet, he's trying to keep you from born again. If you do get born again, then he doesn't want you to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because then you really start knowing God and walk in power. Then if you do get filled with the Holy Ghost, he's still trying to stop you to keep you from praying. And if you do pass on praying and you keep on going, he still tries to do everything he can to stop you. To try to pull you out of prayer. And he's been pretty successful at times. But I've got news for the devil. I believe God's bigger than the devil. Amen. Well, let me give you a hint. Do you know what's bigger than, meaner than the devil and bigger than God? Do you know what's meaner than the devil and bigger than God? And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that do it. Do you know what it is? Nothing. There's nothing bigger than God. There's nothing meaner than the devil, and a lot of people do it. Did you get it? Anyway, it's not really, you know. But when you do nothing, you get nothing. See, the kingdom of God is based upon laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ sets you free from that law of sin and death. The nature on the inside of you now has already empowered you over that. Hallelujah. And he doesn't have authority over you, but we do wrestle. All right. I haven't got to my verse yet, but we'll get there. It says, finally, brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, let me explain something to you. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, if you think you can beat the devil in your might, you're wrong. If you think you can beat him with your mind, you're wrong. He's a spirit being. He's an angel, a fallen angel. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not going to happen by you doing anything other than what God says, and that's to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, his might is within you. Because we talked about last time I was speaking that the kingdom is in you. God is in you. The ability is in you. His might is in you. But when we start looking to the outside, we see people that say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go up to the top of the mountain, take authority over these demons. Well, it's not a natural realm. This is a spiritual realm. This is a spiritual battle. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. If we were, then maybe we could get some planes and get some bombs and go blow him up. But we're not. We're fighting a spiritual enemy. And he comes in the forms of what? Destruction of reasoning in our mind. Why? Because he's a deceiver. He wants to tell you something that's not true. It's like he did Adam and Eve. If you eat of this here, you'll know good and evil. Well, they did know good and evil, but they didn't become like God, did they? You know, you'll become like God. You'll be exalted. You'll be lifted up. This is the way to success. Anybody ever hear that before? Hallelujah. Hear that in a lot of business meetings, don't you? If you'll just buy my plan. See, all the people that don't make the money, they sell their plan, and that's the way they make their money. See, you know? Let me show you how to do this. Hallelujah. Well, have you done it? Well, I did a few, you know, and then it didn't work anymore, but the plan's good, you know? At least it looks good on paper and sounds good, right? Amen. You ever been to those meetings, you know, they come down to the end, you just almost feel like almost an anointing in there, you know? You see these people get up, they'll go rushing to the back. I thought, man, that guy needs to be an evangelist. Man, he can really talk to people. But anyway, hallelujah. I don't know why I said that, but it did. Praise the Lord. But anyway, because we're talking about deception, they're really not trying to deceive you, but they're trying to talk you into something that's really not as good as you know, they're making it sound better than it really is. Well, you only have to work a couple hours a day, you know. Listen to me, guys. Folks, listen. I'm just telling you, if you want to really be successful at something, you got to work hard at it. It takes time and it takes effort. If you really want to be close to God, you're going to have to spend more than 15 minutes a day with him. I'm sorry, but it's just true. It's okay. You'll be close to him, you know, to a certain degree. But if you really want to get to know God, you're going to have to make the decision and say, no, I'm going to turn my clock back. And yeah, I may start with 15 minutes, but I'm going to increase to 30 and an hour and 2 hours and 3 hours. And as my Father draws me, I know that it will increase more and more because you get to know him. And when we get to know him, then the desires on the inside of us are changed. They continually grow. Oh, I love that. How many love that presence today, tonight? It comes in when we worship God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you felt it, but I did. I'm not talking about always feeling something, but when his presence comes, we can sense it. We know it because we're spirit beings. It's on the inside of us. And he comes to you every day. Every day we can make that choice. Father, I love you. I'll worship you. I come to you today, Daddy. Oh, I got so much to do today, Lord. I think I'll pray 3 or 4 hours because I know we got to sort this out in order to get it done. Because me and you, Father, are one. We're going to do this together in the power of your might. See, hallelujah. I don't know why I get in on it, but hallelujah, it's good anyway. It says here, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. I think that's a hint. Paul's saying, now, if you're strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, you know who he is, and you find out who you are. You're a son. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I have the divine nature on the inside of me. That means the ability of God must live in you. If he lives in you, he said the same glory that he gave Jesus, he would give to you. Hallelujah. We've all heard, if you haven't heard the Born Again Trail, go listen to it. I'm telling you, if you hadn't heard it for a while, listen to it again because it just gets you excited. Hallelujah. It'll fire you right up. So, well, I'm feeling a little depressed. Well, really, I'm just, if we've been listening to the message lately, you might just be in disobedience. But anyway, hallelujah. That goes over like a lead balloon, right? Hallelujah. But it's true, you know. You know, when we're not listening to God, our conscience is bothering us. We think we're getting depressed. Really, God's just trying to draw you. He's saying, I love you. I want you. I desire you. Anybody ever had that thought? You know, you're driving down a car, you know, think you're going to the movies. And God says, why don't you go down to the church and pray for an hour? Instead of going to the movies, I don't want to. So you go to the movies anyway, right? But the church was open. I should have done that, Lord. Yeah, and afterwards, you know, you think, oh, I should have done that. I know he was talking to me. You know, and you didn't talk to him that day. And the next day, Joni calls, or Susie, or whoever. You want to go shopping? Oh, sure, let's go shopping. And the Lord said, well, why don't you pray for a while first? Why don't you just spend a couple hours with me? Come on. I love you. I like to hear your voice. See, the enemy is very subtle. He works on our emotions. He knows the things that we like to do. And he's going to keep coming with the same things over and over again until they stop working. Well, when are they going to stop working, Brother Doug? When you stop falling for them. That's when. When you resist him. Yeah, but I don't really like to go shopping, so that's not a temptation to me, but you know. Well, I don't know what you like to do. Maybe you like to hunt. Nothing wrong with hunting. You know, but if you're out there all the time, I remember, or maybe you like to golf. You know, I had a friend of mine, he liked to golf all the time. And this is honest truth. He'd play golf so long, he'd practice so much, he was practicing golf, that his hands started to bleed. He said it was ridiculous. I mean, 12, 13 hours, he'd just get out there and practice, you know, play golf, you know. Finally, the Lord spoke to him, I don't want you to play golf anymore. Wonder why. Yeah. But it was something that he loved, he enjoyed. He, you know, well, God wants me to be happy. He does. You know? And he does. But the happiness that you're looking at doesn't compare to the happiness that he wants to give you. It's like nothing. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's gross. You know, that's what that is that's the women's menstrual rags hanging out there all bloody and all sick and gross and rotting. Stinks. Compared to what he wants to give. Yeah, he wants you to be happy in him. I mean, when God gives you joy, unspeakable and full of glory, there is no earthly thing that can compare. You know, maybe you like to ride roller coasters. You know, it lasts a few minutes. You know, get all excited. Oh, I love that. Oh, when we go over that bump and down that hill, oh, it scares me. And I just, oh, I get all adrenaline filled and oh, it's wonderful. And then you get off the roller coaster and it's over. Oh, man. Well, let's go again. What are they looking for? Something that's an eternal change. Something that's permanent. That can only come from a Father that loves us. And as we spend that time with Him, then those changes begin to take place. And the contentment begins to grow on the inside of us. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. All of a sudden you find yourself falling in love with Him. Oh, I love you, Father. And you just desire and you delight to just get some moments with Him. Suddenly you're at work and it's break time and everybody wants to know where you are. You're busy. You're gone. You're walking out behind the building. You're getting away with the Father because you wanted to steal those moments with Him. And you come home and everything's wonderful, you know, but you get a little bit of time and you shut the TV off because that's not real happiness. It's not real fulfillment. It's temporary and it's going to pass away. You say, oh, Father, I'm coming to you. Oh, I love you, Daddy. I just want to be with you. Oh, Father, I want to spend some time in prayer with you. Because you said no to the enemy. See, his thoughts are subtle. So, well, that's not him. Yeah, that's him. Because he's trying to neutralize you. He's trying to take you to a place where you don't have any time left. How many think? You know, he's pretty good at it sometimes. You know, you see a lot of people. Well, what's going on? Oh, I'm just busy. Well, doing what? We don't stop and think about it. I'm busy. Well, what are you doing? I go play golf. You know, I'm on the bowling league. And I'm not against any of that. God wants us to have fun, enjoy life. But not all the time, you know. Well, I'm running my kids here, and they're in this, and they're in that. And I do this, I do that. And I'm driving to the grocery store, and I'm driving home. And then I have to do the laundry, and I have to clean up the dishes. And get dinner ready for tomorrow. And then I'm going to lay down in bed, and I was going to spend time with God, but the days just go on and on and on, and you get into a cycle, and we get into a pattern, and I forgot I was going to pray today. But if you'll say no, see, there is a fight that we have, because there is an enemy. The devil's still trying to say, look how good the apple is. Look how good it is. I mean, if you'll just work for this company, give your life to it, Daisy, you could be a multimillionaire. We'll see that you never lack again. And then when you retire and there's nothing left of you, you can have everything that we forgot about to promise you. And the company goes bankrupt and you failed. And there's nothing left. And you have memories of a wasted life. When you heard God and He was saying, come with me. I've got a plan that will cause you to succeed. See, His plans are good. Yeah, but all He ever wants me to do is pray. I know. It doesn't look like it's leading me to success. Exactly. That's the lie of the devil. But it will lead you to success. He says, what if we meditate on the word day and night? You will have success. Well, you just don't want me to have any fun. That's what it is. That's what the devil tells you. They just don't want you to have any fun down there at the church. That's it. They don't want you to have any fun. No, that's not true. We just want you to have fun in God. and with him. When you do go play golf, take him with you. But if you don't spend time with him and you don't really know him, how are you going to even know when he's with you? Who are you? I'm God. You talk to, I feel God, I think. He's in you and he is with you, but you aren't recognizing it because your conscience is not alive or your heart is not alive to him. It's not fresh. See, we always think, a lot of times we hear messages and I've heard that before. And they'll tell, people say, well, I've been hearing that since you was a little boy. I've known that all my life. Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. By stripes I am healed. I already know that. Well, if it's old to you, then maybe it's not real to you. See, the Word of God doesn't ever die. It always has life. It's always fresh. It's always new. God says, my mercies are new every morning. So what are we going to do? We're going to be strong in the Lord. I guess I'm on this one verse still. Hallelujah. Going slower. No, let's get Hallelujah. That's okay. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've been talking about some of those. What are the wiles of the devil? His strategies, his plans, his purpose for you. Well, what is his purpose? For you to end up, you know, well, if you don't get saved, not to be saved and go to hell. If you do get saved, then what does he want you to do? He wants to keep you as quiet as possible. But you get beyond that, now you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get power in your life, and you pray a little bit, but he wants to stop you from really entering in. Neutralize you from affecting anything against his kingdom. Do much of anything. And so then he gets you to have a nice little happy life. Everything's just right. I don't work too much. I got time with my family. I love my wife. My kids are happy. They're in a good school. We got enough money to get by. You know, we can do a few extra things now and then. We're pleasantly content. But the Father says, I have a plan. I have a plan to cause you to be a success, to help me. See, he already destroyed the works of the devil, right? Jesus says, so the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy his works. Well, who's going to enforce his destruction? See, he tries to come back to rebuild. You and I. We're going to be wise to his strategies, to his wiles. It says we put on the whole armor of God. Now that's not coming out here and me saying, Lord, all right, I'm putting on my helmet of salvation and my breastplate of righteousness. I got my loins girded with truth. No. It's coming to the place of finding that truth, of knowing the truth, and that truth setting you free. It's coming to the place of knowing who I am in him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It's knowing that I am born again. I'm born of my Father. I have a nature on the inside of me that can cause me to always win. Hallelujah. I can overcome all sin. I had an argument one time with my uncle because I read the Bible. I said, well, in Romans 6, it says that we don't have to sin anymore. I was just young. That was a long time ago. I'm not sure I even started speaking in tongues yet. But I'd read it in the Bible. I said, well, no, you don't have to sin. The Bible says you don't have to sin. And I didn't even, not even sure how I learned that because everybody around me told me I have to sin all the time. But I'd read the Bible. And so I was telling him, I says, well, you don't have to, yeah, you have to sin. But I said, well, here's what the Bible says. And he did say, well, I don't agree with you, but I have to admit, that's what the Bible says. You know, I thought, Lord, have mercy. You know, sometimes you do have to believe the Bible, you know. That's a big thing today. It really is. It's a big assault against the Word of God right now. Really, it's nothing different. Did God say? That's what the devil said in the beginning. That's Lucifer. Yes, God said. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, you know, people took an oath on the Bible. Why? Because it convicted their heart. They didn't want to lie. If they put it on the Bible, oh, God might strike me. You know, there was a reverence for God and what God said. Even if they didn't know what he said, you know, they'd be like, well, I don't want to lie, you know. Not now. I swore to tell the truth. But we put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I guess if you have to stand, it is possible to fall. His wiles could cause you to fall. His devices. His thoughts. We talked about several of them already. I think I'll start that fast tomorrow. How many ever start? You start your fast about 3 days into it. Ring, ring, ring. Brother Gary, I just feel led to take you out for a steak. Steak dinner. I mean, real nice. Nice place. And Barry says, well, I've been fasting. Oh, really? Well, you know, you could just break it for this one meal. You know, no big deal. Just go right back on it, right? See? Then we have a decision. Gary says, okay, I'll come right over. You going to pick me up or I'm picking you up? So while I'm paying, I'll pick you up. We're going. And they go and they have a good time. And God's merciful. He's thankful for the time he did fast. He made it 3 days. So he's real hungry. You know, that's about when the hunger pain really starts setting in there, you know. If you get past the 3 days, it gets a little easier, you know. But that first 3 days, you know, pressing in there. Hallelujah. I don't know why I used you, Gary, but it was good anyway. Thank you. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. Now, Brother Doug, it's not wrong to go out to eat. God wants me happy. He also wants you to be obedient. He has a plan for you. You know, especially in America, if we miss a few meals, it's not going to hurt us. And we said, well, I can see that by you, Brother Doug. You're a real good example. You know, didn't look like you missed any lately. You know? Hallelujah. I know. But really, God is interested in us. You know, I mean, he's happy. He's glad that you made the effort, that you've tried. But he wants us to go beyond as that relationship develops. I'm not telling you everybody has to start out, you know, oh, you need to do a 40-day fast. I didn't say that. But you should do some. The Bible says when you fast. Well, when are you going to fast? Are you going to set a day to fast? Are you going to set some time to fast? Are you going to decide to do it? Or are you going to set it off till another day? Usually I get 2 or 3 offers. Oh, you want to go out to eat? Sure. You know. Hallelujah. You can start that fast tomorrow. Or maybe you get like Dave when he was going to start his seeking time and his house burnt down. See, the devil is trying to stop mankind. How many are thankful for a pastor that's got no quitting sense? Amen. Hallelujah. Remember Gary said, hey, Dave, they were in the truck with Dave. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going down to the church to pray. Hallelujah. He's cutting jokes. Because this is not going to stop me, Mr. Devil. But you don't understand, Brother Doug. My car broke down 9 different times. Every time I put it in that church parking lot, it won't start. Every time. Maybe you need to start by stop saying that. And say, hey, that's not going to stop me. Even if it breaks down every time, Lord, I'm going to pray. Even if I have to walk, if I have to take the bus, if I have to hitchhike, whatever I have to do, I'm going to spend my time with God. Now, how much time do I have to spend with God, Brother Doug? Well, that is between you and Him. But if you're starting out, you know, I mean, I wouldn't start out with less than an hour. Try to get yourself up from there, you know. At least an hour a day, right? If you're just starting out. Now, if you've been praying for a while, you might need to pray longer. He'll begin to draw you in. I started out praying an hour because that's what Pastor Dave used to say. Talk about praying an hour, you know. Pray 1 hour. And I remember I'd get in my closet. I had this little closet. I could get in there then. No. I get in that closet. And I thought, well, I got to get in my closet, you know. And I just get in there. You know, about wear myself out in an hour, but I get that hour in there, you know. You know. And then I go to this prayer meeting. And I go on Tuesdays. I thought, well, at least I'm praying on Tuesday nights, you know. And we'd start praying. And we'd pray in the Spirit for a while, and then we'd come together and kind of lift up some requests, go back praying in the Spirit. And I remember starting there, and we'd start at 7, about 9 o'clock. I mean, I'm just really getting tired. I'm like, oh, man, cool to mama, man, you know. I thought, well, it's got to be getting over pretty soon, you know. Another hour. No, it ain't over yet. Another hour. Many times it'd be 11, 12 o'clock at night, praying. I thought, oh, my Lord, I didn't think I was ever going to make it. But if you'll press through, because every time that we prayed, we'd come through, we'd come to a place and we just hit a note of praise. We just begin to worship God. And His presence would come so strong, you didn't want to go home. You didn't want to go home. It was so good. Hallelujah. He's so faithful. He's so good. We have authority. We can resist this enemy of our soul. And we can stand against the wiles of the devil. His tricks. Devil, Diablo, right? Is that what Pastor Dave talks about? Diablo, penetration. Trying to penetrate you. Trying to stop you. Blow after blow. A little bit at a time, like the little drop on the rock until it breaks through. But the Bible says, if you take His word, it is like a hammer. And if you take that word and continue to put that word on the inside of our mind, greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. I said, greater is He that's in me. And he that's in the world. I am strong in the Lord in the power of His might. I am a success. My Father has purchased me. I am not my own. I'm a son. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Him. See, you're building a stronghold with God against that enemy of our soul. See, the Word of God is an anchor to our soul. It's a hope that gives us hope that there can be something different than what we see in this natural world. See, the Word of God gives us something other than our flesh to govern our life. See, when we come to church, we preach and teach because we're trying to, what, form a belief or strengthen something we already believe. Or destroy what we did believe and believe the truth. Trying to establish a truth on the inside of us. Or to strengthen that truth. Or to allow that truth become a reality in our heart and our mind. See, so when we meditate upon it, on the things of the Father, what He said, we realize, I'm a son. I have a Father that loves me. He made His home in me. He cares for me. He watches over me. He knows the number of hairs upon my head. Now, my mama don't even know that. He said, I see every sparrow that falls. Are you not much more valuable than they? Hallelujah. Anyway. Hallelujah. So we're putting on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Diablo, of his ability to try to penetrate into your life by giving you trials and troubles, bringing you thoughts and things that try to make you feel good and some that don't make you feel bad, try to bring sickness over and over and try to wear you out. You know, I don't have any condemnation. I really don't. I used to think about some things. I thought, man, they sure get in that prayer line a lot. Well, you know, sometimes people are in a battle. They're in there every week. Well, maybe they're battling that sickness and they're trying to defeat it, but they hadn't won yet. By them coming right here to this, to here, to have Pastor Dave pray for me, it's putting them through another week. It's getting them over and past this trial of the enemy. You know, sometimes we look at people and we make a judgment saying, well, how come they keep getting in there? Well, you're not walking in their shoes. You don't know what they went through. You don't know what their childhood was like. You don't know how many times their mother beat them. You don't know what happened in their life. The devil tries to destroy people. But our Father's trying to redeem them, set them free with his power, with his glory, with his anointing. Well, it doesn't look like anything happened. Well, maybe it didn't happen that time. Maybe not a lot happened that time, but they got enough strength to keep standing. And they said, no to the devil. I'm not going to let this destroy me. I'm not going to let it take me out. And they went another week in prayer. They went another day with the Father. Walked a little bit further into his kingdom. Allowed that kingdom to rise up on the inside. Say no. How do you know that God's not going to take them to bring the masses into revival and have miracles all over the place? Because what they overcame, just like you're overcoming. God needs all of us. He needs every one of you. So if you see them get excited and run around the building, just know that it was necessary. They got excited. God set them free. Hallelujah. These things are happening. I see them. Don't you see them with me? Hallelujah. How about the guy that doesn't believe yet, but God gives him a miracle? Woo! God is real. I've been fighting him all my life. But glory to God, he is real. Amen. That's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to have. Because we're not going to let the devil stop us. We're going to keep pressing in. We're not going to let him take us out of that first place. Of course, the first place he tries to take everybody out of is prayer. But then once you pass that, there's other things he wants to come against you with. How many know that he tries to keep you broke too, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Tries to keep money away from you. Well, it's not supernatural. Well, it must be. I'm sure y'all could give better testimonies than I can, but I'm telling you, there's some times I know it must be supernatural. But we got a supernatural Father, and somehow what we did have, we made it. Glory to God. He's the multiplier. Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, therefore, wherefore? That's what it says, wherefore, King James. Because all these things, what you're wearing, Anyway, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Hallelujah. Stand. I think we're in the evil day. Anybody looked around lately? A little bit. In a natural sense, we're in an evil day. The enemy knows his time is short. He knows that Jesus is soon coming and the glory of God is coming upon the earth, that revival can be taken around the world. And this last great harvest is coming in. Hallelujah. Until Jesus comes, we're going to be harvesting men and women and seeing them won to God, seeing them set free and turned out again to win others to Christ. Glory to God. You think you're the only harvesters? What about those that get born again? They got a great testimony. Hallelujah. They're going to reach people that you and I can't touch. That's what we need, all of us. God needs everybody. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is good news tonight. Hallelujah. We can stand, having done all. Well, what is the all that we're supposed to do? Taking on the helmet of salvation. Find out about your salvation. Hallelujah. If you don't know, get Brother Varble's message the other day. He taught beautifully. Hallelujah. About being born again. About what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Get it in your mind and in your heart. Let it thrive. We realize, I've been born again. Remember, David's talked about that all the time. But we have been. We've been changed. We've been made new. We're not the same sinner. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You're a son of the living God. You're a saint. You're someone that's a joint heir with Him. And He wants you to overcome all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Moving on. We're standing. Having done all to stand in the evil day, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. If you haven't had an evil day yet, just hold on. Because we live in a world of sin and corruption, there's evil days that come to all of us. It's just true. When we get past that, we'll have a place of perfection and we won't have to worry about any evil days. Hallelujah. But right now, there's some evil days. There may be an evil day in your life right now. Things happen. People make choices. Maybe your husband or wife said they're going to leave you. Maybe your boss told you you're not getting that promotion. We're demoting you because we don't like your God. Maybe they want you to be quiet because you hate sin. Amen. But we're not quiet. We're to proclaim the gospel to all the world, near and far. We're going to stand because we know the truth that sets us free. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you know the truth. That truth is what's going to set you free. That's why he's saying, take on. Get that armor on you. Well, where am I weak? Well, maybe it's the shoes of peace. Maybe there's not much peace in your life. What am I going to do? Well, I might start by listening to Aggressive Peace by Pastor Dave Roberson. That'd be a good place to start. Well, what do I want to do that for? So you can get your mind renewed to the truth. What's causing your lack of peace? While you're listening, you may as well pray in the Spirit. Get your Bible out. Take a few notes. Do what He says. Do what it says. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, that's where I'm lacking. I just don't have no peace of mind. I don't even know what I'm doing. I hope I'm doing the right thing. God, I keep going to that prayer center, but God does not like complaining. He doesn't like complaining. He does not. He don't put up with it very long either. He'll tell you. Well, he ain't been telling me anything. I just don't know. That's going to cause the enemy to defeat you. What you need to do is be quiet, close your mouth, hold your tongue, bite it if you have to, and pray in tongues as much as possible. Keep praying. Don't stop. Well, Brother Doug, you ever thought like that? It's none of your business. No, not really. Not so much like that, but there's certain things that's happened where I thought, well, so-and-so hurt. You know, I was just trying to help. I didn't mean to, you know, I was trying to do the right thing. God, they really hurt me. And I have emotions just like you. Those thoughts come. But what'd you do, Brother Doug? I prayed and I chose to keep praying in tongues and saying, Father, help me. What do I do, Father? He says, walk in love, forgive, let it go. Yeah, but I still feel this way. I know. So what do? You keep praying. Keep forgiving. No, I forgave that. The devil keeps bringing it to my mind. I forgave that, I said. I forget it. The Bible says, forget those things that are behind. Well, how do you do it? On purpose. It's certainly not going to happen by accident. No, I choose to forget that. Well, what do you mean? You're not going to remember it anymore? No, I remember it, but I don't hold it against any person, and I do not allow the pain of it to affect me anymore, because my Father has set me free. Hallelujah. I forgive. See, when you forgive, you release yourself to receive from the Father. He's given you enough. Yeah, but I just can't. Yes, you can. The Bible says we can forgive. So, well, what are you talking about, Brother Doug? I thought you were talking about the armor of God. That is part of the armor of God. Well, where is that? I don't see forgiveness in there. Well, if your loins are going to be girded with truth, you're going to have to get some forgiveness in there. We'll get there. Maybe next time. I've got to hurry up here. Let me finish up here. Hallelujah. Where are we? We're standing. Hallelujah. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Are you ready to speak the gospel of peace, people? Sir, let me tell you something. You can have a miracle. It's available to you. Huh? You know, I bet he has never heard that in his life. Most people never say it. Well, why'd you say it, Brother Doug? Because it's the truth. I said, if you let me pray for you, I said, God would heal you now. Well, let me think about it. Okay, fair enough. It's okay with me. I pray you don't die, you know, tonight, but... You know, if you do, you know, you're going to miss heaven. But, well, I don't know. He's not sure about that, but that's okay. Well, Brother Doug, you didn't lead him to Jesus. What good did that do? See, the Word of God is a seed. The truth is a seed. And when you sow seeds, then God can water. Others can water and God can bring an increase in their life. But if nobody says anything, a lot of times we get carried away with living a perfect life and, oh, they'll see my good life and my good works and I'm a good person and that's wonderful. But if you never open your mouth, they're not going to know the truth of the gospel. I remember one guy, he'd been working a place for 15 years. And finally this... You know, he'd been working with him. He said, my life is a witness. You know, my life's a witness. And I'm not saying it's not. But if you don't ever say anything, it's not a very good witness. I'm sorry, but it's not. He finally thought, well, the day has finally come and is paying off because this guy he works with, he says, now, I've just noticed there's something different about you. He says, really? You have? Well, what is so, you know, he says, are you a vegetarian? Are you a vegetarian? Now, I don't think that was the witness he was trying to get across to the guy, nor the answer that he expected. You know, sometimes, even if your life isn't perfect, if you tell them about Jesus, they'll still get saved. Yeah, but I was taking that tire off and my finger got stuck under the tire and I cursed. Oh, man, bummer. I've never done that, but praise the Lord. They're laughing at me, but I don't do it anymore, but I used to do that. I'd get really upset and probably ruin my day, but anyway, and that's the truth. That's sad. I didn't have much truth in certain areas. I had a lot of condemnation. Remember one time I was going to get up and pray, and I overslept. Anybody ever done that? Oh, man, overslept. I got to get dressed. Oh, my day's ruined. Oh, my goodness. And I ruined it myself with the words I said. By the time I got to work, I was discouraged and depressed and upset. And, man, I don't know if I'll ever be able to serve God. I just can't even get out of bed. I'm just so lousy. Look at me. Oh, God, please forgive me. You know, and it takes you 2 days to get over it. If that's where you are, don't stop. There's hope for you. I'm serious. I'm very serious. I mean, there's days that would ruin my whole day. My wife, I got married, you know, and didn't get much better, and I feel sorry for her. You know, she had to try to help me, you know, and she couldn't help me. Because I was determined, though, to serve God. I did make a decision, I'm going to stand. And I did find the truth. I did find out, hey, God loves me. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not knocking me upside the head or being upset with me because I overslept a little. What he's looking for is a consistent relationship with him. If I'm going to consistently spend time with him, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to do it every day. Even if I fail, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it again. Because I found out who I am. I'm a son and my Father loves me. And I know that no power of the enemy can defeat me because Jesus made a show of him openly. Hallelujah. And I'm going to put on that armor of God. I'm going to stand in the truth. I'm going to stand in the righteousness that God has made me. I'm going to forgive people. I'm going to release them. And I'm going to allow God to minister to me and to be the son of God that he called me to be, the child of God. The saint of God, the daughter or son of God that he's called us to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, that's kind of what we've been talking about tonight. How do you do it, Brother Doug? By faith. Not by feeling, but by faith. So, well, what is faith? Faith is what you're firmly persuaded in. What am I firmly persuaded with? The Word of God. What God said is what I'm going to choose to believe. And that's what I'm going to choose to say with my mouth. So how did you overcome, Brother Doug? You said you were so depressed and so you would talk yourself into just failing, you know. Spirit of failure trying to take you out. The devil lying to you. Well, what did you do? I began to find out what God's Word said. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I'm always overcoming. My Father loves me. Hallelujah. My Father loves me. And I receive his love. And I continue to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Allow the truth of who God said I am. I'm in Christ. Not in myself, but in him. And he's the one that always causes us to overcome. He always causes me to triumph in Christ. See, in myself, no, but in him. See, when I was trying to overcome, when I was trying to do it all, it became hard. But when I allow him to work with me, and I begin to work with him and allow him to work in me, it began to become a joy and an ease and a freedom in that relationship with the Father. It becomes so valuable and so precious and so important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But anyway, I'm going to stop right there, I think, right now. But taking the shield of faith, and that's how we do it, by faith. And on down, let's read down a little bit further. Wherewith we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He's saying, watch. He brings it down to the end, praying with all prayer and supplication. All manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer. Well, what kinds of prayer are there, Brother Doug? Well, mainly praying in the Holy Ghost. That's a great one, because we know we're praying the perfect mind of the Father over our life, building ourselves up, strengthening ourselves above all these wiles of the devil, above the strongholds that he's tried to build in our mind. And we're building the strongholds of God, because the mind of Christ is being delivered unto us, because it's a prayer that's a revelation. We begin to get the revelation of who we are and who we are in Christ and our place in the body of Christ. And then we begin to be successful. We allow others to come into the kingdom. We're able to help them and take them by the hand. Here's what I did. Here's what you can do. You can have a miracle. You can be born again. You can pray in tongues and change your life and see those strongholds that are holding you back come down. Hallelujah. But you just don't know. Yes, God knows. I don't know, but God knows. When we spend all the time praying in the Holy Ghost on a consistent basis, day after day, allowing that truth to become real on the inside of us. You see, we can tell you the truth. Somebody can tell you the truth, but it's got to become real to you. God will make it real in you and to you. When you begin to do it, when you begin to say, okay, this is what it says, Lord. Make it real to me, Holy Spirit. Make it real to me. And then he begins to share with you. Well, you remember when you used to do that with your neighbor? Remember when you used to go out and fly kites with your mom and daddy? Remember this, remember that. Oh, this is what it's like. Remember the joy you got when you got your first bicycle. He said, I want that for you. That's how I feel about you. Oh, that kind of joy. See, he makes it real to you. And the Word of God begins to be alive. And it begins full of life. And that's what changes us. And that's what causes us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we will stand in the evil day. We're going to stand in this evil day. Well, what's an evil day? When the enemy comes to try to steal your prayer time. When he comes to try to take your life. When he comes to try to deceive you into believing something that's a lie. Like maybe, somebody takes you to that gold dusting meeting. Hallelujah. You don't hear much about it anymore, do you? Not much. Pretty much passed. Glory to God, we made it through. Hallelujah, you're still here. I haven't heard much about it at all. I'm sure it happens here and there, you know. Those things come and go. We're not going to be moved with every wind of doctrine, are we? We're going to be strong in the Lord. And we're going to stand. We're going to defeat his wiles, his deception. That's trying to take people out. Now, I know he loves me. But see, some people, they really believe he loves them. Well, I don't have to do anything. God loves me, and I'm just okay. And God's okay with me just the way I am. You know, I just cuss, and I drink, and I do all sorts of crazy things. You know, but God loves me. You know, I'm telling you. I just stay in the Spirit, brother. Well, we need you to get your mind renewed to the truth of the Word of God and truly get in the Spirit. Because when you're in the Spirit, you're going to affect a change in your life and in the lives of others around you. Amen. Hallelujah. It will. Because God's going to help you. So let's continue to stand in the evil day. But not in our strength, right? Be strong in the Lord. Not fear the enemy, but face the enemy with the truth and with faith and with determination. Determination? Yeah. Sometimes you just got to get a little determined and say, no, I'm not going to put up with it, devil. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do it. Well, that's just your own self-will, isn't it? No, it's not. Because God put that in you. He'll help you. It just doesn't seem like, I don't know if I'm a determined person. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't stop. Allow Him to build you up above that and root it out of your life with the truth of His Word that sets us free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well.